Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Before our Lord went to his agony on the cross, he made it his will. He had no silver or gold or houses to leave his disciples. He was a poor man, as far as earthly possessions were concerned. Few in Jerusalem were so poor as he, but he left his disciples a richer gift than any earthly monarch could bestow on his subjects. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, he said. He left them the peace which had been his during his life on earth, which had been him with him during his poverty, buffeting, and persecution, and which was to be with him during his agony in Gethsemane and on the cruel cross. The Savior's life on this earth, though lived in the midst of conflict, was a life of peace. No storm of satanic wrath could disturb the calm of the perfect communion with God. And he says to us, my peace I give unto you. Those who take Christ at his word and surrender their souls to his keeping, their lives to his ordering, will find peace and quietude. Nothing of the world can make them sad when Jesus makes them glad by his presence. In the perfect acquiescence, there is perfect peace. The Lord says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It is the love of self that destroys our peace. While self is alive, we stand ready continually to guard it from mortification and insult. But when itself is dead, and when our life hid with Christ in God, we shall not take neglects or slights to heart. When we receive Christ into the soul as an abiding guest, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds. There is no other ground of peace than this. The grace of Christ received into the heart subdues enmity. It allies strife and fills the soul with love. He who is at peace with God and his fellow man cannot be made miserable. The heart that is in harmony with God is a partaker of the peace of heaven and will diffuse its blessed influence all around.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, as we continue to wait upon you, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak to your people today. Father, we realize the time is running out based on the signs that are being fulfilled. But the question needs to be asked to each of us individually. I'll be taking these moments, these closing moments of our history, for granted. Father, we ask today for us to have the seriousness of the mind, that we have sensed the seriousness of the time in which we live. That when it should come, Father, we will not be found wanting. We pray for all family members today, all those that are hurting, those that are in the prisons, in the hospitals, in different places, yea, around the world. We also pray for our government on both sides, that they will continue to allow you to rule in the affairs of their life. That as they go forward, Father, they will rule in the affairs of this Bahama land peacefully and the best way they possibly can, within realizing that you will take an accurate account of what's taking place there, Jesus. When all is said and done, we pray that we, along with the government, all our family members, will be able to stand before you with joy and gladness, saying, you are our Savior, you will save us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. Now, if you want to contact Turning Point, you can contact us at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.tpministries.org. At our website, we have articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Renwick. We also have links to very interesting sites that we believe would assist you in your study of the scriptures. So we ask you to visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Also on our website, you'll find the email address of Brother Renwick, Brother Paul, myself, Brother Miller, Julian, and also of Marley McKinney. Oh, unless I forget, there's also some interesting articles and links dealing with health on that website. So take a look. Tell your families and friends that you could, that Turning Point website is up and running. Now, I know our regular listeners, and maybe some of our not so regular listeners, might have been trying to figure out how come we were not on the air on Monday. Well, ZNS had another program that they had to air. So what they're going to do is we're going to be airing this Monday, barring any unforeseen problems. We'll be airing this Monday. That's Monday night at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., 2 hours, commercial-free, call-in live show. Our subject would be the separation of church and state, or should the church and state work together? We will also bring up the topic of religious liberty. So tell your family and friends that Turning Point is, we'll be on the air tomorrow night from 8 to 10, and our subject will be separation of church and state, or should the church and state work together, and religious liberty. Now, before we get into our question this afternoon we'll be dealing with peace. We'll be dealing with peace. But before we get into our topic this afternoon with Brother Paul, Brother Paul is going to come with his regular station where he gives us insight on those articles that appeared in the newspaper this week that might be of some spiritual significance to us. So, Brother Paul.
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. One of the things coming out of the news this week is, by now, you should have already heard in the news that the Jeff Rush event that's supposed to take place in Freeport was canceled. Not because they realized that this event might have caused some harm or done something to someone that is not right, but it was canceled because of bad weather. And I'm hoping that next week, God's will, there'll be another bad weather, and then the following week, another bad weather, because, you know, I also used to be one of those people who participated in Gombe and Chongkunu and all these sorts of stuff, and I didn't go there to look for Lord Jesus Christ. I went out there to try to have some sinful fun. I'm thankful that the Lord angels protected me while I was in those environments, and now that I'm able to speak to you on spiritual matters that are the most important. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Rush is not an event, and yes, it might be an event to, you know, to generate some funds, but even the sponsors of this event has done a lot of damage. It is sponsored by one of those things that they call alcohol, and I understand that one of the first prize winners is going to get some top dollars here. I mean, just what it's going to take for us to get some money in order to do the things that we really want to do. You're generating funds from those things that does not glorify the Lord. And a buck of a baka sends a very strong message to those that sell these products that it'll be a woe unto them at the end of time. This alcohol has done a lot of damage, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you talk about this a lot in this program. As a matter of fact, as we came into the studio today, there's a promotion with alcohol. Everyday low prices, and they advertise any alcohol again. I mean, I didn't even bring this in the studio, so I'm sure the Lord would want me to talk about this. You know, if it's something that the Lord wants stamped about country in this time, it's definitely alcohol. It's done a lot of damage. Then also coming to the news this week, the budget debate. There's a lot of discussion going on with the budget debate, so much so that in this budget debate, if all goes planned, you can have a good number of millions of dollars going to the health department, to the armed forces, the Ministry of Tourism, sports, culture, education, all those going to have a little chance, you know, to dip in some of these funds that is going to come from our pockets, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the government, these funds are our funds. And I want to, you know, let the government know that nothing should be spent. It's not going to be glorifying our Father which is in heaven. I talking about culture, you know, there's something in our culture that we had a long time ago, but we lost, where everyone knew everyone. I know when I was growing up, we all knew each other. We knew everyone on the block. And anytime we wanted, if there was a need, we didn't have to go outside of our community to look for that need. There was someone in the community that could have helped us. We all knew each other. It wasn't like you come looking for Sister X and not knowing who Sister X was. Well, it's not like that anymore. We have Sister X living on the side of Sister B, and Sister B living on the side of Sister C, and they don't even know each other. You know, we have come to the point now that we don't want our neighbors to see us. We have started putting up picket fences now. We are putting up walls. I mean, 10 and 12 feet walls to make sure our neighbor don't know who we are. You don't want them to get in our business. But, you know, when things go haywire, then, you know, you want everyone to have compassion on you. But, you know, that's not the way Jesus operated. As a matter of fact, ministers of the gospel have come so high-tech now, they don't want to travel on the commercial jets anymore. They want to fly in their own private jet. I mean, what's going on here? Is it because they really want to get to their destination without the hindrance, or they don't want to mingle with the people? Think about these things. Then there's a very sad comment coming from the religious section of the Tribune this week. That's the Thursday Tribune edition, May 31st, under the topic, God is Not Great. The author of this new book says, and how religion is poisoning everything. They said when this book went on the shelves, this book became a top seller right off the bat. Ladies, can you believe that? This gentleman is on the record. One so-called Christopher Hitchin said, God is not great. Well, you know, if God was not great, you know, he would be dead today. But because God is great, and because God is love, the Lord allowed him to sit down in the presence of the privacy of his home, and he put this book together, and he's generating hundreds and thousands of dollars. Under the topic, God is not great. But ladies and gentlemen, not too long in the distant future, this gentleman, if he does not repent, he will see exactly how great God is. He's going to be so great, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that his greatness will destroy all the wicked, just by the brightness of his coming. And you know, God also talks about his greatness. And that day, if Mr. Christopher does not repent, the Bible says a time will come when he will bow down with all the wicked and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But his bowing down would be too late. How is it that men can say such things? trying to say that God is not what he is? Could it be they've never really studied the Bible for themselves, that they came up with these conclusions? I want you to pray for him, ladies and gentlemen, because God loves him with everlasting love, as he loves all of us, and he wants Mr. Christopher to be in heaven with him one day. But if Mr. Christopher continues on this road, on this pathway that he is on, that God is not great, I can assure you he loves his part in the lake of fire, which the Bible says is only prepared for the devil and his angels. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we continue to wait for the Lord, let us prepare ourselves for the time for Jesus to come.
Brother Paul, this afternoon we may look at the subject of peace. But before we get into that, let us take a look at the definition of peace. What is the definition of peace?
Well, Brother Julian, according to the dictionary, it says peace is a time of quietness. Peace is also a time for us to do the things that are pleasing, not in the eyesight of mind, but also in the eyesight of God. But the problem is, do we really want peace? Do we really want the peace of God that passes all understanding? Or we want that superficial peace, the peace we only check for ourselves? And that's the reason why the peace that is, according to the dictionary, a state of calm, of quietness, a state of freedom from disturbance, a state of thoughts or emotions. You know, a lot of us are an emotional beings. And sometimes when peace is called forth from us, we want to be emotional about it. And if it doesn't go according to our will, we'll cause a disturbance. And that's just the opposite of peace. And that's the reason why today, you know, the prisons are loaded with young men and young women, because someone has disturbed their peace. And because they've disturbed their early peace, they have taken upon themselves to deal with that person or those individuals. And now today, they sit behind prison walls, awaiting the Lord's return. But while there's hope for them. And if they are listening to their action, to seek you, the Lord, while he may be found, call upon his name while he is near. Sometimes he allows these things to take place in our lives to get our attention. And if this is what it takes for us to save us, so be it. The Lord is in control.
What is the Bible definition of peace, however?
Well, Brother John, according to the Bible, you know, you read it from just a little while ago, but, you know, repetition always deepens the impression on our mind. Because John 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave to you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give it, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the Lord said, the peace that the world has is different from the peace that I have. You know, there's a young lady that we call the woman at the well. That's the name that we normally call her. The Bible never really named who that young lady was. She's on a run. She had five husbands. And when she came in contact with the peace of the world, which is Jesus Christ himself, he asked the young lady, say, go call your husband. She answered correctly, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you answered correctly. And she came to the water. She came to the well looking for water. You know that water that cleanses our thirst? And Jesus said, you know, lady, I have some other water that I would like to give you today. And if you should drink of this water will give you the peace that you really need. This will take away that longing that you're searching and running after. And, you know, she said, well, how do you, being a Jew, want to speak to me? You know, because you're a little mixed with us. We are considered dogs. We are considered the outcasts. And, you know, after Jesus finished preaching that sermon to that young lady, the Bible says she ran out and called the whole nation. Say, come and see a man that's able to tell me everything about myself. And that's the peace we're looking for today, the peace that is only found in Jesus Christ.
Now that election is over and all things have been settled, Brother Paul, should these political parties and whatnot be working together for peace?
Yes, Brother Julian, but the problem is that type of peace they're looking for here again cannot come unless they're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. You know, right now there's a lot of backward and forward going on between the two major parties here in the Bahamas, and even those that are on the fringes, like the BDM, you know, they're saying a few things, but what's going on with both political parties, that being the PLP and the FNM, and also you also have some independent candidates that are still on their radio airwaves that, you know, saying their backward and forwardness. But the only way that all this can cease, ladies and gentlemen, if all parties involved surrender to Jesus Christ, and realize that this is a spiritual problem. This is not a physical problem. This is a spiritual problem. And that's the reason why the day Jesus is saying, my son, my daughter, turn yourself over to me. But we want to do it ourselves. How many times we turn on the radio and we hear, oh, this is a good man, this is a good woman. Well, you know, the Bible, according to the Apostle Paul, he said there's none good in Romans chapter 3. There's none that seek it after God. There's none that understand it. There's none that know which way to turn. And that's why today, like the Apostle Paul, we need to be stopping that road up to our Damascus road, where we will surrender our hearts to Jesus Christ. And when he comes, we will not be found wanting, neither us nor our family members.
But Paul, why is peace so important to our country? I guess to every country. Why is peace so important?
Now, one of the major factors you hear on the radio program today, Brother Junior, but peace is our tourism industry. They always said if our country becomes violent, or if we get to a point where, you know, that people cannot trust coming to the Bahamas anymore because of the high volume of crime or violence, whatever it be, it may hit our tourist industry and may cause us to not be able to take care of ourselves. But, you know, One, there's good news for those who are Christians. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that are near you shall be added unto you. So no matter how wild the Bahamas will get, there's also hope for the children of God. No matter how wild the countries of the world might get, there's always hope for the children of the Lord. And the Bible is quite clear that God will supply your needs according to your riches and glories. Last week I shared with you in the Lord's Prayer. That's Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. But the problem is we want a weekly bread. We want a yearly bread. We want years and years of bread. Some of us, our barns are filled. And we are so selfish. We are not trying to see who we can help with our barns being filled. We don't need for nothing. Earthly, that is. All we need for is, if anything, we need a more closer walk with Jesus Christ. And what are we doing? We're building bigger barns. We're building bigger barns, not realizing the Bible says, this day thy soul will be acquired of thee. And you know, history is here to let us know that most people that leave a barns filled, there are things that they leave behind go to waste shortly after, you know, they are retired to the earth, and they remain until the trumpet shall sound. So this is why today the world is right now looking for worldly peace. They are looking for this peace that only can last just a moment. But the peace that we really need today that will solve all of the problems is the peace that is found in Jesus Christ. And once we have that peace, the Bible said, grace, peace, and love is law, and nothing should offend them. That's the Ten Commandment law. That's found in Exodus chapter 20.
Well, now that we have a new government, and I think your definition of peace was that tranquility and ease and so forth. Can politicians bring peace to this country with their policies and procedures and their laws?
No, Brother Julian. The reason why they cannot do it is because the government is not in the hearts of men. Men's hearts are desperately wicked. And that's the reason why the government is trying. I mean, every government that comes on the stream meets the same set of problems. And people think by changing governments and taking out governments and putting out the government, things will be changed. But it's a hard problem. Jeremiah talks about this hard in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the question Jeremiah asks at the end of that statement is, who can know it? And the only person who can know the heart, ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus Christ. Every man on planet heart is desperately wicked. And the man who knows our heart is Jesus Christ himself. And that's why Jesus says, it's not what goes in that defiles a man, it's what comes out that defiles a man. You know, he had the conversation with the religious leaders of that day in Matthew chapter 15, and they were trying to say that the disciples were out of order for not eating with unwashed hands. And Jesus said, don't you all the religious leaders know that it doesn't what goes into the man that defiles the man, but it's actually what really comes out? And Jesus went to list some of those things that comes out of the man. He talked about murder, he talked about adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. He said, these things are the things that defile the man, but a man eating with unwashed hands does not defile the man. As a matter of fact, this parable of Jesus was so deep that even the disciples did not know, you know, what this really meant. In 15, verse 16, Matthew 15, Peter asked him, says, Lord, we don't understand what you're saying here. And then Jesus said, don't even understand that it isn't what goes in, whatever goes into the mind, it then turns to waste. That does not defile the man. A man is desperately wicked. And all Jesus was saying is, I told you, y'all was quoting the Old Testament scriptures. Jeremiah said, the heart is desperately wicked. And this is the reason why things were going haywire in the days of Jesus. And 2,000 years later, you would be thinking it would be getting better. But no, it's not getting better. And today, and the religious leaders, sorry, not the religious leaders, the governments all around the world are devising all sorts of plans. We almost jails in our own little house, in our country. I mean, there's hardly any place you can go where you don't feel like you're in jail. Most of the modern-day cell phones today, based on newer broadcasts, are being tapped today. So you don't even have your cell phone on. They have a debugging device in your cell phone so they can listen to your conversation once it's laying around the house. And once your cell phone is on, they can track you wherever you are in the world. And all these things, all these different devices, things are not getting better. But as they fight for peace, don't you know they're fulfilling Bible prophecy? Because the Bible says, when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, and they shall not escape.
But Paul, in our reading earlier, it says that Jesus left peace with his disciples. Does this peace that he left with his disciples, does that extend to us in this day and age?
Yes, it do, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, you know, the first time the Apostle Peter was rebuked was in Acts chapter 10, where the Apostle Peter was only preaching the gospel to the Jews. And a lot of them rebuke him in the book of Acts chapter 10. And even today, there are ministers of the gospel and Christian people like ourselves who still believe this prophecy in Acts chapter 10 was talking about food. This is not talking about food. This is talking about them only preaching the gospel to the Jews. And the Lord said, don't you know I'm no respecter of persons? So yes, Brother Julian, this peace is not only for the disciples of old, but even the disciples of today. And even to those today who don't call themselves disciples, even to those who don't call themselves children of God. But the only way you can tap into this peace that passes all understanding. This peace that Brother Julian read in his devotional taught today, this peace only comes through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says in John chapter 15 verse 5, without me, for without me, you can do nothing. In that same John 15, as a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says he reigned on the just and the unjust. Not because the unjust have turned their hearts to God, but because he loved the unjust, just as much as he loved the just. But the things of the kingdom are for the just. So today, if you fall in the category of the unjust, if you fall in the category of the young man, Mr. Christopher, who believe that God is great, today, before the day too late, I ask you to give your heart to Jesus. And he has promised that even if calamity or strife should come, he would not put more on his children than they can indeed bear. And all of us Christians, they can attest to that. Sometimes, you know, we feel as if, you know, we are under the gun. And we hear that still small voice. It is I. Be not afraid. I'm still with you. And today, Jesus wants to give us that peace, which cannot be found in any man or any device on planet Earth. This peace can only be found in Jesus Christ.
Brother Paul, we talk about peace, but does the Bible tell us or give us an indication of how things would be in the end of time? Is there any indication from the Bible what will happen in these last days?
Yes, Brother John. In Matthew chapter 24, the chapter we always talk to our listeners from time and time again. I wonder how many of them have really took up the challenge, really studied through carefully and prayerfully. That's Matthew chapter 24. There Jesus says in Matthew 24, the conditions are going to be so bad before he get here. If you don't intervene, all flesh should be destroyed. He said, but for the elect's sake, I will intervene. And then if you go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, the time will come and Michael will stand up. But where is Michael right now? Michael right now, according to the Bible, is sitting on the right hand of the Father. What he is doing there? He is interceding for you and I. And the Bible says, when Michael stand up for his people, there should be a time of trouble that never was, since there was a nation. He said, and when that take place, God's children are still going to be on the earth. All religious leaders believe that there's going to be a time of trouble. Some of them believe that the time of trouble is going to be after the church is raptured. If that is true, that means Daniel 12:1 was written wrong. That means Jesus did not know what he was talking about when he quoted Matthew chapter 24. That means John the Revelation didn't know what he meant when he was quoting Revelation chapter 13. We are going to be here, ladies and gentlemen, and also in the same Revelation chapter 5, I think it is, the question was asked by John in that chapter where some people were slain for the word of God. And they asked, how long, O Lord, should we have our blood not be avenged? And Jesus told them, not until your fellow brethren should be killed likewise. And Revelation 13 is quite clear that when church and state work together, it's going to be a time of trouble in this earth that was never was. People will be slain on left, right, and center. All through history, it has been proven that when the church and the state work together, it brings chaos upon the land. And why is it? It's not going to be the government pushing for this, ladies. It's going to be religious leaders. Some of them may be under the sound of our voices today. Even right now, right here in the Bahamas, we have religious leaders trying to legislate morality. I'm thankful, you know, but our Bishop Gomez is on the record saying that church morality cannot be legislated. Then there's a deaf pastor who came right along and said, you know, Bishop Gomez does not know what he's talking about. But Bishop Gomez is right, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot legislate morality. You can pass as much laws as you want that man should not do that which is wrong. It does not change the heart. The only thing that can change the heart is Jesus Christ. So you can legislate as much, you can pass as much laws as you want. And I assure you, man will still be wicked. Why? Because Jeremiah said, our heart is desperately wicked. And that's why today, Jesus cries out to his children on planet Earth, my son, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 26, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. The only way you can observe the ways of the Lord, if you give him your heart. And what he's going to give you in exchange for your heart? Not a stone. He's going to give you a heart of flesh. And that heart of flesh, which is operated by the Holy Spirit of God, will change the hearts of men to do that which is right, and cease to do that which is wrong.
Brother Paul, based on the description just now, why is it then that our ministers of the gospel are praising ministers of the government for work, and in some cases the government has not even done yet, while the Bible says that things are going to get worse? But ministers of the gospel are telling even their congregants that Satan parties will make things better. What happens here?
Well, Julian, you never hear ministers of the gospel talking to me, and I've heard many. They are talking the gospel according to their opinion. Because I challenge any minister under the sound of our voice today, if you can give me one scripture in the Bible where the Bible says it would get better, I'd be the first to come next week or even tomorrow night on our live program to quote that scripture on air. There's no scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. There's no scripture in the Bible that says that the earth is going to get better. All scripture says it's going to get worse and worse and worse. As a matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 is a scripture most ministers like to quote. If my people, which are called by my name, but humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. But the problem is, our ministers willing to turn from their wicked ways. There are members in most of these churches, they sell crab. They sell cow. They sell crawfish. These things are wicked. These things destroy, are killing people even today. In Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, the Bible is quite clear. The things that walk on the land must chew the cud and split the hoof. The things that are in the sea must have fins and scales. These things will never, and these things, the Bible says, are unclean. They are an abomination. We drive along the street all the time, we see baskets and baskets of crab, some of the nasty creatures on God's earth. And these things are being sold, and the Bible says these are an abomination. Homosexuality is an abomination. Lying lips are an abomination. If you turn away your ears from hearing God's law, the Bible says it's an abomination. But very seldom you hear ministers get on the radio and cry about these things. These things are, when you have possession of crab, conch, and lobster, you are stealing. As a matter of fact, the government is on the record passing laws that we shouldn't sell conch and lobster, I should say, during the same time of the year. And when the government passed this law that you shouldn't sell these things, everyone obeyed. But long ago, before the government ever came and even was thinking about coming to existence, God passed a law that if you eat these things, you should surely die. But who's listening to God? Most of us have taken on the attitude of Mr. Christopher. God is not great. But yes, ladies, he is great. And I can testify, and I know Brother Julian can testify, where he has brought us from. And today, if you understand of our voice, listen to God. He is speaking to us even right now. And he is about to come. And I assure you, we will not go to heaven if we have any sin in our life. I can assure you of that. All ministers will tell you that any sin, as small as a mustard seed, will cause you now to be lost at the end of time.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for another opportunity and a privilege to come before your throne. We come before you, O God, first asking forgiveness for our sins and any iniquity. Lord, as we reflect on this topic of peace, give us your power and your strength, that we may study your word, that we may find you, and therefore find the Prince of Peace. Help us, O God, we pray, that when you should come in the clouds, we should go home to be with you, is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, tomorrow night we'll be live on ZNS 1540 from 8 to 10 p.m. And we're looking for that scripture where the Bible says there'll be peace on this day before Jesus Christ should come, ladies and gentlemen. So if you have it, we'd like for you to call in and say it live on ZNS 1540. But ladies and gentlemen, based on the Bible, it would not take place. Until next week or until tomorrow night, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.